May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation.
Thank you, Amy. I'm conscious of being sitting down for a while. Do you feel like you just need to stand for just a moment and just have a bit of a stretch? It helps us recalibrate and maybe be able to refocus our attention. It's been a great service, but one that we want to continue to focus on the Word of God. Please feel free to stretch and reach out and sit down, and let's re-engage now with the Word of God. You might have been able to do that at home as well. I trust that in the comfort of your own place, the Lord's going to speak to all of us today. At the back end of the book of Romans, we've just got two more weeks to go, and kind of these are the passages that you kind of don't really look too closely at. So I hope that what's really unfamiliar will start to really stand out for us today. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. I just love that your word, it reads our life. And I pray that we would have ears to hear, and that we would have a humble spirit to come under your word and be willing, Lord Jesus, to adjust our behavior, to adjust our thinking, so that we, Lord Jesus, can really follow after you in such a way that we would know a greater freedom in Christ. Lord, because your ways are right. Your ways are perfect. Your ways bring life, life to us and life to others. So, Lord, I just pray, speak to us again. Through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at this word, attention. Attention. I think it's one of the most powerful forces in the world. Paying attention is a sign for us, I think, of spiritual health. When you give somebody your attention, it means you're saying to that person, you matter. It means you're saying, I'm interested in you. You're saying, I've got time for you. Like, real attention, when your eyes meet that person and you're kind of not distracted, not looking away, but you are genuinely listening, you're genuinely absorbing, you're genuinely present in what that person is expressing. Attention. In fact, psychologists use this word attunement. Attunement, it's the moment that a baby experiences where their parents or those that are caring for them are kind of looking in at the cot. And that little one looks up at you and catches your eye. And all of a sudden they give you that smile. Have you had that moment?
Oh, yes.
Psychologists call that attunement. It's where the baby for the first time actually experiences what it means for somebody to give you their attention, and then they actually grow up and expect and long for that moment in their life over and over again. And don't we still long for that today? That someone would be attuned. I'm getting a lot of feedback here, Ross. Do you want me to go a handheld? Okay. Where somebody is tuned in to what you're saying. I think it's really powerful, this idea of attunement. It takes it, I think, a little step further than just attention. I always see it in like the park. When I was a younger dad and my kids were playing, I'd love just to be a hands-on dad, a dad that gets involved and, you know, up the slippery dip, down the slippery dip, well done, tripped over, you'll be all right, son, on you go. But have you ever noticed that sometimes there's parents at the park, and I don't blame it because parenting's hard, they're just on the side more on their phones. And like their kids are playing. And I'd always get that one random kid. Look at me, look what I can do, look what I can do. And I'd be like, yeah, great, you're doing so well. But then I thought to myself, well, I'm not your parent. And I'd look over there and the parent's just like scrolling. I never did this, but I sometimes felt like going over and saying, hey, can you just pay a little bit of attention to your child? Because when we are in tune with a person's needs, man, it's a gift of love to that person. And when somebody is in tune with what's happening in your life, man, that's a gift. If nobody's paying you attention, then you feel lonely. You feel misunderstood. You don't feel heard. You feel shut out. You feel left out. And I think that's where our mental health starts to spiral a little bit, because God's made us for each other. And the disruption of COVID and being isolated, I think, has magnified that one simple truth. We need each other. God knows we need this. Church, gathering together with all our thoughts and feelings and diversity and opinions, and somehow kind of God builds his kingdom through it. Amen. But I love the idea that God's face shines on us. Moses instructed Aaron to give this blessing to the people of God. It's a beautiful blessing, isn't it? The Lord bless you. We all know it, don't we? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Is this not the Lord's attunement? It's like sometimes we think we're pretty good and self-reliant, but really in the struggle of this world, we can also be quite childlike. We are dependent on many things. And lots of things can go wrong. And sure, we can pull some levers and orienteer ourselves out of our trouble, but sometimes you can just be on your knees and you can't get yourself out of the trouble. And we become very aware that we need help in those moments. And I love the fact that our God's face wants to shine on you. It's like God is looking at you in your childlike state where you can't get yourself out of the predicament you're in. And it's in that moment that his face just wants to shine on you. God's attunement towards you is so powerful, because people will let you down. People will hurt you. People will annoy you. People will be different from you. And at times you want to hold people away. You know, in those spaces where we're hurt or we're pushing people away, sometimes they can be the most lonely places. We can feel like we're missing out. But I love that God's face wants to shine on you. God's attunement, that he's looking to you. And he wants you to know that you are loved and you are valuable. And I am here for you, and I won't leave you, and I want to walk alongside you, and I want to be there with you. And it's in those moments that we know that we're not cosmically alone, but we have our God and his attunement on our life. And all God wants from us is that we would pass that on to each other. And this is the challenge that Paul's bringing. You know, today's message is titled The Church of Givers, but it's not just a financial giving here. It's giving of yourself to another person, like God gives his attunement to you. All kinds of people, I think, are waiting to be noticed. And Jesus, he lived out this idea of attunement, of giving just attention. I love that story in Luke chapter 13, when Jesus was teaching in a synagogue and a woman had been crippled for 18 years. 18 years she'd been limping through life. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 12, we read, I think, some really powerful words. And Jesus says this, when Jesus saw her, Luke writes, I should say, when Jesus saw her, they are such powerful words. He's teaching in the synagogue. and he sees this woman who's crippled. Jesus gives her his attention. And I would say a bit further, he gives his attunement to her. He notices her. His eyes lock with hers. And he's moved with compassion. He saw her. And that day, she walked out of that synagogue healed. He saw her. All kinds of people are waiting to be noticed. And some people just really desperately need some attention, especially right now. And I think for followers of Jesus, one of our distinguishing characteristics is paying attention to another person, serving and blessing and discipling another. That's one of our distinguishing features. And here in Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is actually encouraged. He's said some pretty strong words across Romans, but here we actually see that Paul is genuinely encouraged. He's like saying to the church in Rome, well done. He's giving them a pat on the back because our brothers and sisters in Christ, like 2,000 years ago, they are actually doing well in giving other people their attention and blessing them and helping them and serving them and sitting with them and encouraging each other. Paul's encouraged. He's like, this is a well done moment. This is an encouraging sermon. This is keep going. That we would give ourselves to others. And so here, the Apostle Paul basically has really kind of three things to say about how well the church in Rome is doing, how they're giving attention to others. So let's have a look in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It actually starts with a prayer. It's a pretty awesome prayer of Paul. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a prayer that Paul has. Filled with all joy and peace to trust in him. I myself am convinced, brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. This is a pat on the back. This is a high five. This is Paul saying, punch it in. You're doing really well. You're doing really well at paying attention to another person and their needs, being present. Look what he says. He's got three things here. He really basically starts with this prayer. He says, oh, just may the Lord just come upon you, that you'd be abounding in hope, that you'd be filled with peace. And out of God's attunement on your life, wow, I can see that you are, first of all, filled with goodness. Filled with goodness. Verse 14, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourself are full of goodness. He's talking about their righteous life. He's talking about their behavior. He's talking about their good deeds. In other words, what Paul's saying is, you've got eyes for others. I would love that little statement to burn into your heart and mind. Eyes for others. Eyes for others. To stop and actually bless another. You are actually full of goodness. Wow, I'd love it if the Apostle Paul could say that about our church. We have been on something of a journey with our next Freedom Steps this year, and we've had our freedom to bless. And there's been some great moments here at CBC where I feel like, in part, the Apostle Paul would say to us that we too are full of goodness. What about the great cookie drive of 2021? I mean, who here has eaten cookies from, you know, CBC? Like, seriously, we've been so blessed. It's not just about cookies. It's about saying, we want to give you attention. We care about you. We want to make sure that you are known. You are not forgotten. This is about us giving attention. I've really loved some of the great things that we've done when we've blessed frontline workers with just some humble little items. I know there's a new family to CBC, and they're in a place where they were moving, and there was quite a few people from CBC that just came and helped them move location. And they were so encouraged because there's people here at CBC full of goodness. They told me last Sunday, they can't believe it. They didn't think that we would just be, they're strangers, they feel like, and yet there were these people that turned up and helped them. Full of goodness. Well done. I love some of the wonderful gospel opportunities that have happened through Freedom to Bless. Just by being full of goodness, one of our young adults was at Rocknasium and just helped somebody out with some of their climbing gear and just showed them a little bit of a little way of doing it differently. And suddenly the person said, "Why would you help me?" And they talked about that they go to this church and we're in a place of blessing others, and they ended up sharing Jesus there at the Rocknasium. How cool is that? Just a little help, eyes for others, go and help, and it ends up being a gospel conversation. That's so good. Full of goodness. I was so encouraged on Friday night with the leaders from Adventure. Just blessing our kids, running around, ultimate tag. I can't tell you how encouraging that was just to see our leaders just blessing our kids by being present and showing them what it looks like to gather as the people of God. Full of goodness, Paul says. And he says, filled with knowledge. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge. In other words, what Paul's saying is that I can see that you have taken the time to read the Word of God. But not just read the Word of God, retain it, and then do what it says. It's like you have listened to me and all that I've been writing about, and you've been filled with knowledge, and you're nurturing that knowledge. And that's the essence of growing. If we want to grow into all maturity, then we need to read the Word, retain the Word, and then by persevering, do the Word. I don't know if those words are familiar to you. Jesus said those words in the parable of the sower. You know the parable, the seed, the farmer who sowed the seed. The seed represents the Word of God, and most of that seed went to places where basically the worries of this world choked out faith, and the seed didn't grow up into being a tree and being fruitful. But we know about the seed in the good soil, don't we? The good soil that produced an amazing harvest, an amazing crop. Do you remember what Jesus said? Why that person produced such good fruit in their walk with him? Here it is. Jesus says, "The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." Do you want to grow as a Christian? You want to be fruitful? Well, this is what Jesus says. You need to hear the word and then retain it. So remember the word and then do what it says. And Jesus says, if you do that, you're going to grow. You're going to produce fruit. You're going to be filled with more and more goodness for others, because that's what God is. He's a God that gives his attention, his attunement, and he's calling us to do the same for each other and in our world. But we're never going to do it because we've got this funny little default position. It's called selfishness. It comes very naturally to us, where we consider our needs far more important than another person's. And so we kind of just live for self, and maybe we might do a few good things because that'll make us feel good, but the focus is always on you and me. It's what selfishness does. But when you hear the word and remember the word, and actually by persevering, takes hard work. Persevering is like sweat. It's like trial and error. It's like persevering's hard. It's easier to give up than persevere, right? But if you persevere by doing what the Word of God says, you'll start to actually produce fruit. And what's the fruit? It's a selfless life. It's that you would give somebody more attention than meeting your needs. That's when you know you're growing. When suddenly your needs are not as important as those nearest you, then you're growing in Christ. But that's so hard and foreign to us because selfishness is our default. But Paul is so encouraged by the church of Rome. He says, you're being filled with knowledge. And I think if we're going to have eyes for others, then we need to nurture knowledge. We need to nurture knowledge, the knowledge of God. Like seriously, think about your week. Are you really saturated in the Word of God? Or is this as much about the Word of God you get all week, this moment? If this is the sum total of you having the Word of God encouraged into your life, then I want to say your discipleship's in trouble. This can't be the sum total of your discipleship. This is a moment in your week When do you open up the Word of God during the week? And if it's like, oh, gee, I don't know. Well, my phone's far more enjoyable, just endless scrolling or whatever it might be, whatever distraction comes your way. Oh, I've read it before, I know it. Wow. Do you know what makes the Bible a bestseller of all time? It's because it's accompanied by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes this a living word, because it comes with the Holy Spirit. As I'm reading the word during the week, I'm just praying before the Lord, Spirit, can you reveal something in your word that I need to know today? Like, I read the word of God with the Holy Spirit, not just me reading the word. It's the Spirit of God that brings this word to life, and quite often it reads me. But I'm learning what it means to be forgiven. I haven't completely worked that out yet. God's grace is incredible. So the Apostle Paul says to the church in Rome, you're full of goodness, you're filled with knowledge, and you're competent to instruct one another. And that's his third point of high five to the church in Rome. You're able to instruct one another. I think this is a real byproduct of being full of goodness and being filled with knowledge. The outworking of that is you're able to instruct one another. I think what Paul's getting at here is something so important. It's like discipleship. It's where learners become teachers. It's where learners become teachers. And I think that is so acceptable before God. In the kingdom of God, learners can become teachers real quick because you have the Spirit of God in you. And when we are full of goodness, God's goodness in us, and we are being filled with knowledge, His knowledge, then a natural outworking ought to be this instructing one another. Paul says you're competent to instruct one another. A disciple of Jesus, I think, that's got a vibrant and active walk is somebody that's like literally, seriously discipling another, instructing another, helping somebody who's weaker, and Pastor Sam preached on that last week, somebody who's weaker in the faith, that we would pay them attention, give them our attunement, so that we can also help them be filled with goodness and knowledge, so that they can go from being weaker in the Lord to stronger. We become competent to instruct one another when we're full of goodness and being filled with the knowledge of God. It's a natural outworking in the kingdom. There's such a good question here. Let me ask you, who are you currently discipling right now? And like, if it's a serious blank, can I ask you, is it really okay that year after year, it's no one? Who are you discipling in the Lord? Who are you intentionally paying attention to? Who are you giving attunement to? I don't think it's good enough that we're followers of Jesus, but we're not instructing anyone. And I think for the Church of the West, not just CBC, that's a huge challenge. And I'm actually really excited for our next Freedom Steps next year. I'm not going to get there because that's for next year. God is stirring our next Freedom Steps. But this is our job. You've heard Jesus in Matthew 28 over and over again. As you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them. That's all of our opportunity. I think God is most satisfied with us when we are filled with goodness, serving one another, blessing our world. He's most satisfied when we're growing in knowledge, but then we're available to instruct one another. You may never go to Bible college. That's fine. You've got the Spirit of God. You've got the world, who is our parish. Isn't that what John Wesley said? Oh, Jesus in the synagogue that day. Such a powerful moment, isn't it? He's teaching in the synagogue. When Jesus saw her. She caught his attention. And that day, that woman experienced a greater freedom in Christ. Has anybody caught your attention yet? I love that Elise led us this morning in worship. Thanks, Elise. Thanks for being brave and creative. And who'd you write down? Who can you pay attention to this week? Who can you instruct in the Lord? The Lord will bring people into your orbit. Because you may be saying, well, no, I don't have anyone. Oh, come on. Are you living on an island? The Lord will bring people into your orbit. Jesus saw the woman and he responded. Who are you seeing? Who needs your attention? We have the Spirit of God in us. We are competent to instruct one another. A guiding principle that, I don't know, it really, it's a guiding principle for me. I'm not saying I completely live this out, but intention precedes attention. Intention precedes attention. I think giving somebody your attention is a big step because we're pretty selfish, right? So it's a big step to give somebody your attention. So I think if we can't get to there, then I think the principle before that is intention. Intention precedes attention. So it's like, what are you seeing? It's like, for Jesus, it started with sight, and then he gave this woman his attention, and she experienced the power of God that day. If we don't even have the intention to instruct another, it's never going to happen. You don't just give someone your attention. It starts, first of all, with this desire in your heart to have an intention to then go and bless that person. The Apostle Paul says that we're able to instruct one another, so don't lose the sight that it's reciprocal, because you may need somebody to lean on. In fact, I hope you do. We should all be accountable. We all need somebody to lean on as well. Proverbs 27:17, you know this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I just think it's so, so unhealthy if you're surrounded by people that just agree with you. We need others that we can lean on as well, that can challenge us, that we can actually go to and say, you know, I really struggle in these areas, and that person would graciously encourage you in the Lord. Iron sharpens iron when we're honest. Who is that person that you're willing to submit yourself to so that you can grow stronger in the Lord? Notice that Paul says that we can instruct one another. So who are you encouraging and discipling? And who can encourage and disciple you? It's got to go both ways. It's at that point, Paul is high-fiving the church, and then he just goes on and just pours out his heart. He says, I've written you quite boldly on some points, yes, like Romans 13, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God given me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul's just pouring out his heart, his missional heart. He's like, I'm going into the world like you to be full of goodness, to be filled with knowledge, and to give instruction about following Jesus. And Paul says, you can't stop me. I'm going into the world. And then he goes on and says where he's been. He says, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. He's doing it for Jesus. No one else. He's doing it for Jesus. That's why he's pouring out his attention to others. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. Paul reflects where he's been and seen how the power of God is at work. And then I love verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Imagine having that attitude. Imagine being in that place to say, it's always, not just sometimes, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Man, if the church could grab hold of that, there'd be no stopping where God wants to send us. Let me ask you, who does the Lord want me to give attention to? That's a really important question for you to carry this week. We are a church of givers, giving of ourselves to each other. But there is one more matter in chapter 15, the last part of chapter 15, that's really worthy of our attention. And it's something that Paul was so deeply committed to. And that was a great service to the saints. Paul would go around in his travels and take up an offering, and he would take that money back to Jerusalem to support the Christians in Jerusalem. And this is what Paul says. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. From Macedonia to Achaia, we're pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jewish spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them in their material blessings. Paul took up an offering. He took back money to support the poor Christians in Jerusalem. So after I've completed this task and have made sure that I have received this contribution, I'll go to Spain and then visit you on the way. Paul was really committed to this. Back in Galatians chapter 2, with Peter, James, and John, they had this agreement that they would take up this offering for the poorer Christians in Jerusalem, and he would take it back and bless them. And so I really just want to end our message today with just a huge, just encouragement to say well done, because I think that's a really big part of CBC's heart, to bless and serve Christians locally and around the world, to resource Christians. I've been so encouraged that we this year have stepped out to bless Rwanda pastors. And I've got some great photos of 10 pastors that we're sponsoring to go into Bible college. They're certainly about nearly 6 months through their theological degree of 3 years. Now, remember, the government is discriminating very much against pastors. By 2023, if you're not on your way to being theologically trained, that you can't be a pastor. So you're pretty much going to get possibly put in prison, but you're definitely silenced. So it's pretty tough. We can't change that, but hey, we can bless 10 pastors to go to Bible college, and then for the Lord to send out into Rwanda as well. There's a couple more photos that will come by. I got this email from Principal Fred, who's actually going, one of the 10 pastors. He says, great to hear you. Can access this, that's the video. It's not easy to send it myself. So Fred was sending this video. Our IT guy left us because of COVID. We could not pay him. As the church, our finances are still not in a good state, and some members are not yet back, and others lost their businesses and jobs. However, we serve a big God, and through CBC sponsoring us to have a theological training is one way God is showing us that we are called by him for his ministry. See what encouragement it is? The church of givers. You know, I'm not asking for an offering for Revival Palace Church today. God will provide for them. But we are providing for them through supporting pastors. But do you see the encouragement that that is? Because we've given them our attention and our blessing and our finances and our prayers. Here's one of the students, Prudent, who is studying. He's going to give us a bit of a thank you.
Hi, CBC. Greeting from Rwanda. I'm Iranzi Prudent, the youth leader. On behalf of students in Africa College of Theology, we thank you for supporting us in this journey. So far we have covered a lot, and I thought having a Bible and being able to read and allocate any book in the Bible was enough. By the prayer and the inspiration from the Holy Spirit, I can lead a good sermon and anyone else can do. But after joining the college, I realized that in order for any minister to be effective in any ministry, he needs to study the college. He needs actually to join the College of Bible. I cannot hide my excitement on the courses that we have covered so far, that we have actually found some good, helpful courses like hermeneutics, which helps any minister to interpret the scriptures in their context, and homiletics to lead a good sermon, which has to be Christ-centered. And we cannot also forget about the personal leadership, which helps us to understand ourselves and understand others, and a strategic management, which helps us to plan strategically to our ministry for in order to exist for a couple of years and more and more. And for sure, it has been very helpful and encouraging for us to join this college. And we really thank you for your support and generous heart towards our country and towards our church, Royal Palace Community Church, and towards the ministers of the Word of God in Rwanda. God bless you so much, and God bless you abundantly.
That's so cool. And I love how the choir was rehearsing in the background. That was so cool. I just want to go back to Rwanda right now. That is so special. But also, don't lose sight of the cranes. And they're finishing up after like 20 years in Mozambique and Malawi. They put a little video together for us a little while ago, and I thought, wow, this really fits for today. Check out this video from the cranes, because this is a long partnership of blessing the cranes, resourcing their ministry, just like what the Apostle Paul was talking about in blessing Christians back in Jerusalem. You got to check this video out as they finish up ministry and as they thank us for their partnership in the gospel. Let's have a look at this video.
Hello, Karingba Baptist Church. It is so good for us to be with you here this morning. We would love to be with you in person, but obviously for lots of different reasons that can't be the case. We just wanted to take a couple of minutes to say a few things. First of all, number one, we just want to thank you so very much for being part of our journey over the last 20 years of our ministry in Mozambique and Malawi. We know that without you guys supporting us in prayer and financially, there's no way we could have done what we've done, and there's no way that the Lord could have done through the team what he's also done. So we are just so grateful for that. In case you haven't heard, we've actually decided that at this point we're not able to return back to Africa. It's a difficult decision, it's complicated, but we just wanted to let you know that. And so we'll be staying in Australia now. That's at least what we see for our future. So we wanted to thank you so much again for all of your partnership with us in the gospel. And we know that people have come to faith through some of the work that's gone on, and also continue to be discipled. So that's probably the first thing we wanted to say is thank you so very much.
As a quick update on us, our family is doing well. This is a bit of a photo of maybe what we looked like when you all were a part of sending us out in the beginning. But today, this is a little bit more close to what we look like in reality. The kids are all doing well. Our eldest son, Sam, is in the States, but planning to move back to Australia at the end of the year. Our next son, Caleb, is recently married and studying at Bible College in Perth. Hannah is just become a qualified teacher. And Micah is also studying teaching. And then Josiah, who came back with us, is begun university as well. So we are technically empty nesters, and that's sort of a strange thing for us.
We just wanted to finish with a word that's become a Chia word that's become important to us in the last few years. The word is Kuchingamila. I'll put it up there so you can see it. And basically it means people use it when they're needing directions or they can't find where to go. So if I wanted to go to one of your houses, we would say, well, let's meet at Karingba Baptist Church, and then we'll walk together and you can show me the path to your house. Well, one day, a couple of years ago in a village, there was a chief there who had gathered, who'd become a believer, and he gathered a group of people together. And he was talking about us, and he said, these people have come to Kuchingamila with us, and to show us the way to God. And when I heard that, I thought, That's brilliant. You've just summed up perfectly what our whole ministry is about. It's to meet them, meet people where they're at, and then walk together on the path towards God. And I guess that's also our prayer for ourselves as we move back to Australia now. What we'd like to do in terms of ministry is to continue just in a different geographical space. And our heart's desire is to kuchingamilla with people, meet people where they're at, and then walk with them on the path to God in the same way that Jesus came to us and met us where we're at, and he kuchingamillas with us as well. So that's where, what we would like to, I guess, format the rest of our lives together, serving God. And I guess maybe that could be something for you to hold on to as well, is to kuchingamilla with people, meeting people where they're at, and walking with them on the path towards God.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you so very much for giving us this time, and also not just this last 5 minutes, but being with us for the last 20 years. We are so grateful. Thank you, and God bless.
Bye.
Yeah. It's incredible. In December this year, we finish up support. 20 years. I love that idea of kuchingamilla. I just want to put a rock in your shoe when it comes to the next freedom steps that God has for us next year. Who can you walk with, and who can walk with you this week and into next year? Who can we kuchingamilla with? Because God is calling us to instruct one another, to be filled with knowledge, to be full of goodness. And we can do that. And we can do that alongside of each other and alongside of those that don't know him. May we be a church that does what Jono and Heather Crane want to do in their next season of life, kuchingamilla with people. Because that's the joy. And you know, when we do that, we grow up into greater maturity in Christ, because it's faith in action. I invite the band to come up as we pray and as we continue to worship our Lord together. Our Father, we thank you so much that we can hear the words of the Apostle Paul today. Father, we come before you, and at times we lament that we do not give people attention. So often, Lord, our own selfishness means that we don't bless. We aren't in tune with the needs of those around us. But Father, I thank you that your face is always shining on us and that you are so patient with us. But I pray, Spirit, would you stir within us a deep, deep desire to see those around us and to bless. Lord, may we be a church that is full of goodness. Father, may we be filled with the knowledge of your truth from your word. And God, may we be bold enough to instruct one another. And in doing so, Lord, may we produce a rich kingdom fruit. May we mature in Christ because we're willing to walk with each other. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see and then respond. And Father, I pray that we would be serious about discipling another. I pray that you would send people in our life that we could lean on and that could instruct us and help us in our weaknesses. Lord, you want us to be free and whole, and you've given us each other. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to lean on one another. I thank you, Lord, that this church has been so generous to the needs of Christians around the world, just like Paul was to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. Lord, we thank you for the Rwanda pastors, and in the name of Jesus, we pray they would know your blessing and power today. And we rejoice in the ministry of the Cranes over 20 years in Malawi and Mozambique, the amazing team of people that you raised up, the discipling and the churches that were planted, and the kingdom, your kingdom, that had powerfully come through their ministry. Thank you that we're a part of that. Thank you that we could bless them with our prayers and our resources. Father, I pray you would raise up other missionaries that we could bless as well in your name in the years to come. Father, we want to be real before you. take our lives. Here we are. May they be a living sacrifice for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.